Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything we talk about is aimed at helping you lead with greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in these anxious times. My name is Irvin Nugent, and today, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, collaborator, and dear friend, Bridget Tyre. Bridget, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Irvin. Thank you for asking. Boy, I am really looking forward to this particular conversation. I mean, I always do. I just have to say, I so thoroughly enjoy recording our episodes. They're fun. I learn something new. There's something about this topic and the way we're going to approach it that I find particularly helpful for me. So I'm eager to dive in. So tell everybody what we're going to talk about.
So today we are going to talk about something that every leader experiences, but few are taught how to handle it. And the episode we're going to call When Pressure Takes Over, How Leaders Lose and Regain Themselves. And really what we're going to focus on is zoom in on those moments where the pressure of leadership builds and suddenly you're not showing up the way you intended. And you're reacting instead of responding. You say something a little sharper than you meant to, or you shut down when exactly in that moment you should be showing up. And then later you think about it and you say, that's just not the leader I want to be. So today what we want to do is, first of all, normalize these moments. If you're not having these moments, boy, something's wrong, because that's part of humanity. We don't want to excuse them because there is a disconnect with how you want to show up. But we want to offer you some practical ways of recognizing the pressure you're under just a little earlier so that we can regain ourselves a little faster.
Love it.
Bridget, I am sure, like me, you have heard leaders describe these moments very often. And as they talk about them, I'm just curious to kick this off. Like, how would they describe these experiences? What would they say is happening to them?
Yeah, I think most of the times what I hear is regret. These are leaders who care deeply about showing up well. And when they don't, they're frustrated. And under that frustration, I think, is a real sense of disappointment. First and foremost with themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they expect better out of themselves. And oftentimes, I believe a lot of the leaders that I coach, when they are willing to share a moment like this with me, that they actually perceive it as a personal failure instead of a skill gap.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, I should have shown up better. I wish I hadn't done that. I got to learn how to do better. It's kind of like, man, I really failed there. And so I was happy to hear you say, let's normalize this because we're all under tremendous pressure, and leaders in particular, and we can't always get it right, but we can work on getting it better and better.
Yeah.
What about you?
I love that perspective. And I think the other thing as well is to really acknowledge that many leaders are operating under really sustained pressure. These are difficult times to step up to the plate and to lead. I think we have very high expectations, and some often are, the expectations start with ourselves, our high expectations of ourselves. But, you know, we're constantly pressed for time. We are more visible as leaders than we've ever been before. And so just to acknowledge that that's constant. And because it's constant, the pressure keeps building. It's always there. And it kind of like narrows the emotional margin. We don't have big margins to adjust emotionally. At times, they're just instant, and all of a sudden we snap or something happens. And I think what's important, first of all, is to say that in these moments, leaders are not lacking character or values. It just means we're human, and we are reacting to that constant pressure and the strain that we're feeling. And so I think the work here is not this ideal nirvana that we're the leader who never reacts in this way or never has a moment where we snap, but really it's about the recognition we're there, and then how do we respond faster and getting back to that moment of attention that we want.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to frame it. And so, Irvin, you know, I'm curious as to if we could somehow peer inside a leader when they have a moment like this. How would you describe what is going on internally for him or her?
Yeah. So I think what we need to recognize is that as a lot of this pressure is relational in nature, it, you know, at the core, and I think you believe this as well, at the core of business is relationships and leadership is relationships. So it's very often it's a relational pressure that we feel. And I think internally, although they might not see this, I think what they're reacting to is some form of threat. And it's not a physical danger, but it's a psychological threat. And so it may be something like, I'm feeling disrespected in this moment, or I'm feeling questioned by people and I feel exposed, you know, or I'm feeling out of control, or I feel like my competence is on the line. You know, it's these kind of feelings that are really visceral at times, and we feel them. And it's those moments, and we've said this in other episodes, it's not just our mind. This is our it's a full body experience. And so our body begins to protect us, and our attention narrows and our tone shifts and our curiosity drops. And all of this is happening so, so quickly. And at times we're just not even aware that what happens. And all of a sudden we're interrupting instead of listening, or we're defending instead of exploring, or we're withdrawing instead of actually moving forward and engaging. And I think what's really important here is when that pressure builds, one of the fallouts of that is that our access to choice is narrowing. And we have to train to be able to change that reality. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you know, any emotionally intelligent leader, what really we're trying to do, it's not to suppress, because that's going to get us nowhere.
Right.
Really what it is can I get greater choice under stress?
Mm.
So I'm curious, because this is really such a pervasive experience. Bridget, from a systems perspective, I'm just curious, like, what might be happening here? What happens when a leader's operating under greater and greater pressure, perhaps instead of presence?
Well, I'm so glad you're asking the question, because in an emotional system, in our relationship systems that are governed by these patterns of action, reaction, and interaction, right? The system, the relational system, reacts immediately because what affects one affects all in a relationship system. So when the leader becomes tense or reactive, we can literally observe at least three things happening almost immediately. And that is that the emotional tone of the room tightens. You just feel it, right? Yeah. And then the people in the room, in the meeting, in the conversation become more cautious and guarded.
Yeah.
And information gets filtered instead of openly shared. Yeah. And we've all been there, right?
Oh, totally.
Like, oh yeah, we know that. And so there's this, you know, really important truth about systems that teams don't regulate, or families for that matter, don't regulate themselves. They regulate around the leader.
Mm.
Like, I want to say that again. Teams don't regulate themselves. They regulate around the leader. Now, rather than our listeners hearing that as more pressure, because we don't want that, what I want to just remind ourselves is that if the leader is rushed, anxious, or sharp, sure, the system mirrors that. But the reverse is true.
Yeah.
When you slow down, even just a touch, even slightly, the system settles.
Yeah.
Right? So that's really good news.
Yeah.
Pressure doesn't just affect the leader. It ripples outward. But calm doesn't just affect the leader. That also ripples outward. What do you think?
Yeah, I love that. I love that, you know, kind of the things don't regulate themselves and regulate around the leader. And I think that's really important, because I think at times some leaders scratch their heads and they say, well, what can I do? I can't control other people. And the great news about this is, no, you can't, but you influence them.
Mm.
And how you show up influences them. And so just as you're saying, it could be received as, oh my God, well, people are picking up my stress. That's true, but they're also picking up when you deliberately choose presence. And I think it's a wonderful gift to give to a leader to say, you know what, just your very presence is influencing others. And that's really powerful.
You know what that reminds me of? Well, Irvin, as you were talking, and we've shared this before, but like it popped back into my head, is Ed Friedman, you know, one of the pillars upon which resilient leadership is based, said many decades ago that the quality of a leader's presence is their greatest lever for influence.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I heard that and I went, whoa, wait, what? Because I'd never heard that before, because this was, you know, 20 some years ago. And that's what you're reminding us of, right? Or that's what you were reminding me of.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about this in the context of pressure. I mean, if we had no pressure, maybe we would all be perfect. Yeah.
So I'm curious then, have you seen any themes? Is there any themes that you've kind of heard leaders talk about that you would say, yeah, these are some really common pressure points?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I would say one is being challenged publicly. Mm. Who likes that? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
That's not something that anybody reacts particularly well to. And, you know, it could be fairly innocent in the sense that the intention was not there to challenge the leader's credibility or authority. But somebody says something and you feel judged, especially if it's in front of your direct reports or your peers. So in those moments, pressure is really coming from the fear of losing standing, not from the content of the comment itself, but of like losing our standing with our colleagues, right?
Yeah.
That's a big one. What do you think is a common pressure point, Irvin?
Yeah. I mean, I think another one would be, and this actually comes a little bit from our discussion last week, and that would be like feeling responsible for outcomes you can't fully control.
Mm.
Many leaders are very responsible people and they feel accountable and they feel, I think that accountability can get a little bit out of hand. Mm-hmm. And we feel accountable for other people's choices, for shifting priorities, for external forces. And I think that gap between responsibility and really what we have control of can really create some chronic pressure, which need not be there. And I think so often that can be turned inward and like we beat up on ourselves. I mean, I've met some leaders that are so self-critical.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because, you know, that they're really holding themselves responsible for really outcomes that really they have very little part to play. So I think that's another one. How about you? How about another one that comes to mind?
Well, this one is often not seen, and that's that, you know, leaders carry emotional labor that I think a lot of times people are not aware of.
Yeah.
Because think about it, a leader, just like anybody, you're absorbing the emotions of the people around you, but because a leader is somebody that people go to for problems, for solutions, for venting, for, you know, whatever, they listen to frustrations, they mediate tensions, they hold the space for anxiety in the team, all the while keeping their own struggles hidden. They're presenting this steady, optimistic, composed front, even when they're feeling themselves pretty under pressure. And I think that's a pressure that accumulates. It's an invisible labor, right? That accumulates over time. And leaders can bear it as long as they have some intentional ways of releasing it or some support for it. But if you don't, I think what happens is it can surface unexpectedly as irritability, right?
Yeah.
And you're just exhausted by it all, right?
Yeah. Totally.
So I think what's interesting, you know, as we're talking about this, what becomes clear is that pressure isn't random. In other words, these pressure points can be predictable. And I think there's some good news in that.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say one other thing that just comes to mind, and I've heard this quite a lot, is another pressure point is repeating the same conversations third or the fourth time. So in other words, I've heard leaders, you know, say, well, I explained it. It's as clear as day. And then they didn't get it. And then you get this internal processing. Well, why didn't it land? I was crystal clear. And of course it didn't. And so then what's interesting is, you know, that first time that explanation is calm and it's nice. And then that second time there's a little edge to it. And then come the third time, whoa, this is the one, you know, where the tone shifts.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you say something with a little edge that you didn't really mean or whatever, but that happens a lot. And of course, you know, in this crazy world where people are running around like headless chickens,
yeah,
our attention span is down. So as leaders, we need to expect the fact that very often it's not going to land the first time. It may not even land the second time. It may need the third time. And it's nothing to do with a person's capacity. It's just that we're so distracted. Actually landing something like that can be really difficult. So.
Well, you know, Irvin, I can relate to this so well because just a few days ago, my husband and I were having a conversation. It had to do with finances and financial management and our financial portfolio and all of that. And he's managed that for years and done a beautiful job. And I'm now getting into it to try to better understand it and, you know, become more of a partner, right? But I'm new to it. And these things also don't land with me as easily. So we're talking and I can see the tension mounting, but I'm confused. I'm like, why is he getting so tense? And he literally says, I think this is the third or fourth time we've had this exact conversation.
Yes.
And it just seems like you're either not listening or you're not getting it, which of course triggered me because I'm like, that's why I'm asking, you know? But exactly what you said, that we underestimate how much dialogue is needed to create shared understanding, right? That's something I've said over and over again. And it does at times become a pressure point in the kind of environment that we're in where we're like, I can't afford to say this again. I already said it.
Yeah.
Right?
I love that. Love that. So Bridget, I'm curious now, these are, I think people can recognize themselves or other people in these pressures. So given that we are under pressure, what is something we might be able to offer our listeners that in a practical way that when pressure spikes, that they're able to turn to something that might help them introduce a little better choice?
I'm going to really start using this regularly myself, and it's called the 30-second reset. Now, if our listeners have been listening to us for a long time, they've heard us talk about 6-second center.
Yep.
This is different. This is called the 30-second reset. And you can practice it in real time, just like you can with 6-second centering. And nobody needs to know or be the wiser. But specifically, this is for those moments where you really feel the pressure, right? It's mounting for whatever reason, perhaps one of the ones we just mentioned. Okay, so here we go. There's 4 simple steps to it. First, you got to interrupt the reaction. So for 5 seconds, do nothing. No reply, no explanation, no defense. Stillness is your first act of leadership. How about that? For 5 seconds, do nothing except breathe. Secondly, regulate the body. So now, right, you can do some mindful breathing for 10 seconds. You slowly inhale through the nose and you do a longer exhale through the mouth. You just do that a few times because that signals to your body safety and restores you back to cognitive access. So number one, interrupt the reaction by for 5 seconds, simply do nothing. Be in stillness. 2, start breathing and regulating your nervous system. In through the nose, longer exhale out through the mouth. All right, now you're in a position to name the pressure to yourself. You're obviously not going to say it to the other person, but you just kind of silently say, boy, I'm under pressure right now. And you might even be like, and this is why. Like, I'm feeling undermined, or I'm feeling attacked, or I'm feeling under a spotlight, whatever the case is. And then lastly, you choose the next right response, right? And notice how you kind of have to do the other steps before you can figure out what the next response is. But I love, love, love this question. To figure out what the right response is, ask yourself, what response aligns with the leader I want to be? And then choose to speak or not. Maybe the right response is to say nothing. But this is a process of restoring choice when you're under pressure. And isn't that what it's all about, Irvin, is like restoring choice under pressure? Okay, so that's the process. That's the practice. But can you share with our listeners an example of a leader you've worked with who learned this skill?
Yeah, so there's a leader I'm coming to mind and bearing kind of a little bit on when you talked a little bit about the system and how the system's response and the tension, this is a great example of that, because very often we can think about, you know, when a leader snaps, what we think about is someone screaming and saying, oh, rah, rah, rah. But it can be much more subtle than that. It can be an edge and a tone, and it can be felt just as strongly. You don't have to be screaming at someone.
Yeah.
And this is a great example of that. And it was a senior leader who I was coaching, very well respected because of his expertise. He was a very decisive leader, but he was, I think, a little feared as well, especially to his reactions under pressure. And we actually picked this up a little bit with a 360. This is how this kind of came out.
Yeah.
So people very much trusted him, his knowledge, but I think they were very cautious around him. And I think what was happening was whenever he was challenged, and we talked a little bit about the publicly challenged, what was happening is people experienced his tone shifting. And he wasn't exploding. He wasn't yelling, but his words became just a little clipped and he was like a little dismissive. And over time, what happened is people caught that and they said, well, we just won't challenge. The silent message is here, don't challenge him. And it's not because they agreed with that, but it's just that they didn't want to deal with that emotional reaction. And I think, you know, when we got that feedback, and it was tough feedback, I think, for him to accept. But I think whenever he was willing to look at it, I think what we explored was a little bit like, what's happening in those moments?
Interesting.
And I think what was happening was, you know, he said, well, I feel naked whenever I'm, I think people are challenging my expertise. And he would say, is that really what's happening? You know, is that really? But that's what that's what you feel. And so in those moments then, you're into protective, you know? So the worst thing I think for him would be to be caught like without naked, without the emperor's clothes, as we would say. And so I think for him, that's what he was doing. And I think at that point, what would not be useful there would be him saying, oh, stay calm. I got to be more patient. But it would be actually integrating. And it was a version of what we've just done to really help him kind of slow down a little bit, recognize the pressure and that pattern, and then give a little space so that he could be a little more deliberate in his response, knowing that a quickness of response was coming across as being harsh and judgmental. And I think that's what happened. It gave him a little bit of time to deal with this trigger. And I think over time, as we continued, he, you know, said to me, I'm seeing a difference. Just that pause. And very often, you know, he didn't say anything. And it was just that he felt his reactions were softening. And he noticed that people, rather than shutting down, were speaking up a little bit more. And ultimately, I think what was happening was that trust was happening, a buildup of trust. And I remember he said something to me quite a few months after this. And he said something like, he said, you know, what I loved about this is I don't feel I've changed who I am. But I think I've learned to stay more myself under pressure. And so that was lovely. He was able to bring his gift of expertise and decisiveness without the harsh tone, which still allowed kind of people to speak up. And I think that's really a beautiful example here, that shift that's happening. So I'm curious, does that resonate with you, Bridget? How does that land?
Oh, it's a beautiful story. Boy, what a great example of how through intentional practice, we really can rewire our brains, so to speak, right? And learn different responses. And in particular, learn different responses under pressure.
Yeah,
I think that's the gold standard, right? And I think the other thing that stood out to me is that this was a leader who people respected and admired, but they were a little bit cautious around him. And that's because when challenged, he wouldn't scream. He wouldn't shut people down. There would just be an edge, a little bit of an edge. And that's enough to put people in that cautious mode, right?
Yes, totally.
So good for him for practicing. And I think the other thing I would say is, you know, it's that whole thing about first do nothing, you know, just be still. Like stillness can be an act of leadership.
Terrific
example. Well, you know, to our listeners, you know, if pressure has ever pulled you away from how you want to lead, from the kind of person, parent, or leader you want to be? Welcome to the human race. Mm-hmm. This episode is your reminder that you are not failing, you're normal, but it's also a message to yourself to say there is a version of you possible here in these moments of pressure. And with practice, you can, even under pressure, shorten the distance between those pressure points and the leader that you really aspire to be. Mm. So that's the basic message. Well, what a great conversation, Irvin. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well. This has been, very, very useful. And I think one that comes up time and time again.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we can count on is that we will never have a life free of pressure.
Yeah.
All right. True. Until the next episode, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, folks. Thank you so much. See you next time.